British Super Bantamweight Regional 2003-2008, Commonwealth Super Bantamweight 2003-2005, European Super Bantamweight 2004-2005, challenged twice for the British Featherweight in 1998-2008, and once for the European Featherweight in 2009. It's not a bad career, is it?
Not too bad. Yeah, I'm obviously a bit disheartened by a few things, but I've got a great experience. I've got my own gym here in Newark, so I'm hoping to take guys further than what I did. I'm a long way off yet and realising that it's harder to do that. It's tough.
I think you're right. It is going to be tough. But I want to take you back to sort of the beginning, if I can, a little bit. Why boxing? Because when I was reading up, obviously I've watched some YouTube and, you know, very, very skilled fighter, in my humble opinion. But why boxing? Because you were quite sporty, sort of like with football and running and stuff like that. What was it that had sort of attracted you to boxing and for you to create a career in it?
I didn't realise how tough it was, obviously, at a young age. I wanted to go when I was young. I was into football. My mum would never let me go. I was never a tough guy. I was a little shrimp and a little weed, really, at school. And I was an ethnic background in a white community, and I was quite a lot bullied, you know. But 15, I lost the interest in football, maybe because I was small, and everybody else was growing, and I wasn't. And I find it started to get tough. Maybe they matured into it a little bit later, but I lost the touch and I lost the love for it because the guys were probably a little bit too big for me. But there was a gym right near me, and my friend used to box, and ended up going down there and going in. And from that day, August 1991, I never took a fight out of it.
Really? So what was it? What was it that sort of you stepped in the door of the gym?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and that you stayed. So what was it? So what's that magnetic pull for you to sort of go, stay here, don't go anywhere else?
Well, I'm quite humble, and I wasn't the greatest boxer. But what I'm saying is, I had a little bit of natural ability, and I was quite good at it. If it was a guy that was getting punched in the head, I probably wouldn't have liked it. But I was quite elusive back, and I was doing okay from an early stage when I started. You know, I had 17 fights within 9 months. You know, I was busy. And then the following season, I went on and won a national title. The season after, I boxed for Young England. And then the season after that, I went to Brendan England and turned pro. So I just picked it up really quick. And it was, you know, I only national champion to come from our club, a small club in Newark. And I took it from strength to strength, really.
So, I mean, with regards to that, what would you say are going to be some of your go-to points, some of your high points in your early career? What do you remember of being your high points during your early career?
Yeah, obviously, remember, I was very talented from starting, but I boxed a lad who had 10 fights in my first fight and I lost on points. What did they do? 2 weeks later, put me in against the same lad and I lost again. But then from there, I won 10 on a trot and I stopped 3 of them. And from there, that propelled me and got me confidence up and took me to the next level. So the highlights of my amateur career was winning that national title and being the first ever and the only ever up to now from Newark. In all them years, Newark's only a small town. My old trainer used to say to me, Brendan Ingle, knew it was the place God forgot about. that's a bold statement. Yeah, it's only a small town. And now boxing, due to myself, Carl Greaves, and a guy called Dean Sugden, boxing has got massive in Newark. And there's 3 boxing clubs and there's 60 boxers from Newark. When I was boxing, there was only 7 or 8 boxers. So boxing's flourishing in Newark. So whatever you know, went off in my career, I think it's helped towards that. 100%.
You'll have to, I put Dave on the spot. You'll have to get Dave to come down because, like, he lives quite close by. You'd have to come down and.
Where's Dave?
Sutton-on-Trent.
Sutton-on-Trent, that's where my mum's from, believe it or not. That's a
small world.
15 minutes away.
Wow. I didn't realise until you said Newark that you were from Newark. I could have nipped down and we could have done this.
My mum was born and bred there, obviously a long time ago, but my mum's mum was there, my grandma, and got a lot of friends there.
Oh, nice. I'll see you in Nelson then.
How do you live there?
So I got with Jane 4 years ago, moved in here. So yeah, I kind of come here for love. If you want to put it that way.
Well, it's a small place, mate. That's not far from me. And, you could have come, mate. You could have come to the gym. You're only down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I see it regularly.
Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind.
Absolutely, mate. It'd be great to meet you. Absolutely.
100%. You're welcome to the gym anytime.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm in the back cupboard at the minute. So there's a few in the gym, so I've just come out of the way.
Nice one. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, I mean, other than sort of, you know, catching up with Dave in due course, which would be brilliant. And we can get Dave to come down and you can teach him how to box properly. He says he can box, but I'm not so sure.
Welcome, mate. We've got all sorts down here. And like,
can you see that I'm getting...
That'd be better, wouldn't it?
I'm just setting Dave up.
We'll get it on the Zoom call. Anyone who's training.
What would you say... So talk to me about some of the biggest positive influences over your career. Who would be your biggest positive influence over your career, do you think?
Definitely Brendan Ingle.
Talk to me about Brendan. Talk to me about why you single him out to be...
Like I said, he taught me so much in life. He wasn't a hands-on trainer, as in boxing-wise, but he put you in predicaments and situations that, you know, was good to progress in your life, you know, put you in difficult situations and it learnt your life and social skills. Obviously, you had to pick that up yourself, but I think he propelled me from being young. I was brought up by my mum, no father, you know, just me on my own. And I was a little bit wet behind the ears, and probably 19, 20. And he definitely brought me out and put me in situations like, at 20-year-old, I was flying over to Denmark on my own as a sparring partner and staying there 2 weeks on my own. You know, things like that I had to learn and progress as a boy into a man.
That's a lot, sort of like, if you go back, you know, 20 years, where 20-odd years, for you to sort of, not to just sort of go anywhere else in the UK on your own, but to go overseas on your own, fend for yourself, and also fight, because that was your job,
yeah,
in essence. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, like I said, I did it many times, and I got used to it, and I got accustomed to it, and become very experienced at it, and I was getting paid. Obviously, to go over there on your own, I mean... A lot of guys don't do that when they're a champion. They wouldn't do that. They go with the team. So that was a big learning curve. Not even so much in my boxing, but in my growing up as an adult and growing up as a person and getting in experiences you can't buy, really. You know what I mean? So it was a great learning curve in life, more than boxing.
Do you have any regrets from your early career?
You know,
not now, not sort of towards the end of your career, but in the early parts of your career, do you have any regrets from that?
I've got loads of regrets. Loads of people say, I don't have regrets. I've got loads of regrets, but listen, I can live with it. I made them mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and nobody's perfect. And I'm glad I'm in the position I am. Like, the main thing is, I'm 45 years old. I look about 30, 25. I live a healthy lifestyle. I don't drink, smoke, and then take drugs. And I'm in a great position. I'm very healthy. I'm moaning about all the aches and pains now, but I'm very healthy. I'm very lucky. People, when he's or in the teens or
you know, they've got disabilities. I'm so fortunate, and I really happy about that. I'm very lucky and fortunate about that, and I'm very privileged.
If you look at boxing today, professional boxing today, compared to when you were fighting, differences, subtle differences, big differences, positive or not?
And now, it's boxing's in a tremendous place, the best it's been ever. With Eddie Hearn, Frank Warren, mm-hmm. The Wassermans is now coming to it. There's so much exposure, obviously, like we're talking on social media, you know, there's so much more opportunity. And when I won a European title, we never had a promoter. The boxing was more or less dead for a year when I was champion. So it was tough for me to propel. But things happen for a reason, and boxing's in a great place, so I'm really happy about that.
Do you think that that has had some positive effects with regards to what you were saying earlier on? You know, there's three clubs in Newark. You know, you've got 60 fighters, did you say, that spread across those three clubs?
Also, Carl Greaves has got a professional outfit. You know, he's doing more of the pros, but mainly amateurs. And me and a guy called Dean Sutherland, we've got about 45 boxers between us. And then there's a couple of boxers that another gym that's got five or six. And then there's boxers that actually travel out of town to box. So, you know, for a small town, I mean, this place is about 50,000 people. So that's a lot of boxers, you know, in one small town.
And do you think is that attributed to, you know, how awesome you are, for a start? Also, you know, the what you were saying with regards to where boxing is today, it's the best place it can be.
Definitely. I mean, Eddie Hearn's, for me, has put boxing on the map in the last 6 or 7 years. 100%. Yeah. And he's doing an amazing job, and he's bringing guys opportunity, and he's making the boxing a bigger spectacle, which is going to want people want to box and, you know, start boxing. So that's the biggest thing. Boxing is such a positive sport. There's a guy called Brendan Ingle, as I said to him, my old trainer, and near the wall, the sign was that good, I put it on my wall, and it says, boxing can damage your health, but gets you fit and gets you out of trouble. Drinking drugs just get you into trouble and ruin your health. So that just makes sense. So boxing can damage you, gives you that highlight, but it improves your life. Boxing improves your life, gives you great fitness, direction, discipline and dedication. Do you know what I mean? So it's only positive.
It's picking up on that. So definitely from the health perspective, you've got to be relatively fit to, you know, to go a couple of rounds, let alone 12. You know, on top of that, it's going to give you the direction, surely. It's going to give you the discipline. And do you think that's morphed over into sort of like, you know, just general life for you? From the direction, the discipline, do you think that's given you in just your day-to-day life and activities?
Oh, the experience I've had, you know, is second to none. And that's definitely progressed me now as a trainer, as a role model, you know. Definitely took me to the next level. And I think it's made me, I've got three kids. I think it's made me a better father. I mean, listen, there's so many men that are better than me, but I feel for me as a person, the experience that I've had, it's made me a better person. And I keep trying to improve myself as a person because I'm far from perfect, but, you know, it's put me in a good place mentally and physically, 100%.
And you sort of mentioned, how many boxers have you got, you know, with you that work with you at the moment?
Yeah, so I've got an amateur boxing club and I've got 21 carded boxers. Probably about 23, 24, because there's a few more to turn over. But there's probably 100 people that train in this gym. Obviously, there's boxing and a few circuit classes that I do.
Yeah.
It's busy. You know, it's busy.
Keeps you out of mischief.
Definitely. And obviously, I'm a... as John mentioned to you as well, I'm a support worker. So I work with people with learning difficulties, adults, you know, between the ages of 20 and 40. So that's very challenging as well. But that keeps me humble as well. That keeps me realise how fortunate I am again, you know, because these guys are born with a disability, and it makes you real feel sorry for them, you know what I mean? And look after them in the best way you can.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that, you know, I had a commercial background before I went into working just in charities, you know, and I moved over so that I could do more. And it gives me great pleasure to help other people. That's why I do what I do. I also get to come and do this as well, and I get to come and talk to people like you, Gisham. So it's a win-win.
Thanks for all the nice words you've said. You know, like I said, I'm very fortunate to have my health, and working with people with learning difficulties makes you realise that even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, you know, you've had an amazing career in boxing. For you, just going back very, very slightly, when did you know that you needed to stop? When did you know that you thought, right, I can't, this isn't, I need to find something else to go and do, possibly within the world of boxing?
Yeah, I stopped way too late. What I should have done back then, it was in 2005 when I was champion. I should have stopped then and had a break.
Mm.
About 12, 18 months off. Got my life in order, because there's a lot of dilemmas and problems I had in my life at that time, which is the reason I started having the losses.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of things going off in my life. Your life needs to be stable. You know, you need to have a good mentality and be in the right mind frame. And yep. My life did. So if I would have had the breakout, you know, recaptured myself and sorted my problems out, that's what I should have done. And, you know, never know what would have happened after that. But that's what I should have done. I should have retired 16 years ago and rekindled. But like I said, like that's one of my regrets that I didn't do. But listen, I can live with it. And the experiences that I have had, that person that I'm working with won't have that problem, because I'm going to help him.
So I've got a couple of questions that are coming through. So I'll just sort of ask these. Dave Allen says, did you literally have no one in your corner when you were fighting abroad in those early days?
Fighting, yes. You always had a corner, man. Mm. When sparring, I never had a corner, man. I had nobody with me. So I was sleeping. One time I went to Denmark, in another part of Denmark, not Copenhagen, and I was sleeping in the gym on my own. And I was in the gym all day until they come for 3 hours. And
wow.
I was on my own. That was tough. That was tough. I was on my own. Remember, there was no network then. There was no mobiles yeah. then. There was no cell phones then. And that was a tough 2 weeks that I did it.
See, that's something to remember. Is that you sort of go back, what, 20 years?
That 50, would
be... 18 years? And you go,
yeah, that
you
would know, be...
these things that we carry around now.
That'd be about 20 years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't. They weren't there, you know.
That was the art of what I'd have done it. Yeah, I definitely would have done it, but we didn't have no mobiles then. We didn't,
no.
have, nothing. Didn't have a television. I had nothing, mate. Nothing.
And that, I suppose, in a way, sort of like, you've got to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You've got to have dedication and direction to do what you've done. If you're on your own for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, and then you know you're only gonna get together and do a bit of sparring, and then you're on your own again.
That's right. Exactly. That's what happened. And I was there. He had his team with him as well. Yeah. It's good.
Unbelievable. Mr. Johnson Rayner, your new sparring partner, he's basically put, which is your most memorable fight? And I'll add on, and why?
Yeah. Of course, it was when I won the European title. Live on, actually, it wasn't live. It was shown on BBC Grandstand in January 16th, 2004, when I won my European title against an Italian guy. That was the highlight of my career, and I won by stoppage in the 10th round.
As Khan has put, are we going to see a movie all about you, obviously? Would be great example for the youth and local lads.
You know what? Like I said, I never got to a high level. I got to a good level, and I'm not a big name in the sport. I'm known by all boxers. You know, anybody who's boxing now and that's a champion, they should know who I am. But I'm not a big enough name. But let me tell you, I've got a great story to tell, and it would be a good learning curve for boxers, 100%, or even people in life, because I made some errors at a critical time. So. Yeah, it would be good. But obviously, I'm not a big enough name, but you never know. You never know down the line.
I think you do yourself a disservice. I think that anybody that's done what you've done, and obviously we're only talking very briefly here, you know, is that you've had a good career in boxing. Okay, we all make mistakes and we all make errors, and you know, you talk to whoever in professional sports, and some will say, "Yes, I stayed on too long and I should have stopped then," and whatever. But what you're doing now, you're taking what you've learned and putting that into a direction. So not only are you molding young individuals and giving them what you've learned in your expertise, in your experience, and giving them direction and discipline, but also you're working alongside that and working with individuals who have learning difficulties, you know, young adults. I can do that now that I'm of a certain age, you know, between 20 and 40. So surely there's, you know, I think that the there's got to be something that could be done, even if it's just a book to begin.
I've got a guy coming down on Friday, a guy called Leo Hunter. And he's gonna, I think, gonna make moves for it. Yeah, Leo Hunter's coming down Friday. It's funny how it's all worked out, isn't it? Because he's been on about it for a long time, and he's coming down. We're gonna have a meeting on Friday.
I'm a great believer, Eshim, in that, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. But on top of that, ultimately, is that when you start to do things like this that are outside of what you would do normally.
Yeah,
the lines do, you know, the stars do start to align a little bit, and you get what's coming back to you.
Yeah,
what you've given out, what you've put out, starts to come back to you.
I like that. I think you're right. I think what goes around comes around.
Yeah,
and you know, goodness comes to good people. So I trust you on that. I believe you.
No, don't trust me. It's like everybody else. Trust everybody else. You know, anyway, Dave said, who was your toughest opponent?
You know what? Maybe I'm bitter, but I don't know. I got stopped.
Yourself?
Good one. Definitely myself, 100%. People would look at fights and say he was the toughest opponent, but I can't really pick out who was tough, the toughest. Like I said, but that's a good statement you said. I think myself was the biggest. Was the hardest opponent for me, 100%.
Okay. Looking back, would you do it all again? Or would you change?
Of course something? I would. Of course I'd do it all again. I wish I was still there.
You know, is there anything that you would change, do you think?
Oh, of course I would. Yeah, of course I would. Of course I would. Decision. No, decision.
But that would, do you not think that this, you would not be doing, you wouldn't be talking to little old me now? Maybe it could be something different, but
well, like I said, I'm happy with what I'm doing now. You know, yes, I've got regrets, but I can deal with it. I'm cool, and I'm happy having my own gym. being a support worker, being my own boss, everything's in good hands. And I've got a good good partner. I've got three kids. Everything's good. I can't complain. And I'm healthy. So, you know, I can't complain. Of course, we all want to be a billionaire, but that might come. You never know.
Next year, apparently, according to...
this time next year.
This time next year, we'll be millionaires. I've watched it. Vanessa, this is a great quote. I love this. Josh the Diamond Gooding said, Esham, great fighter, great man. And she's just added, just so you know, Esham, and that's tonight.
Esham.
Sorry, mate. Esham. Sorry.
Josh is a good guy. He's a good friend of mine. Is he watching, yeah?
Josh Vanessa, Gooding. Where did you get that quote from?
All right, so basically, I'm connected to Josh on Insta. I posted that I was going to be listening to you tonight, Esham, and he responded to my post with that. So that's tonight, but he's on his own live. He's being interviewed himself.
Josh is a really good guy. I love
him. He really is. He's really, really bright, but it's the mentality that comes through boxing, that idea that you're accountable, you're responsible for yourself and changing your mindset and being positive every day. And the fact that you can pass that on to youngsters now is just gold.
Once I've been successful, I've had an amateur boxing club for 9 years now. It's tough, but I'm trying my best and maybe things will come in the end. I hope so. We all need to have goals and aspirations in life. I'm not saying I'll get my goals, but you know what? I'm here trying and I'm fortunate. So I do my best.
What's next for you? What's next for you?
Just keep plodding on. Keep doing, you know, try to become a better person. Try and help people. Become a better person, you know, and keep doing what I'm doing. That's all I can do. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And hopefully stay healthy. What more can I say? I can't wish for too much.
No, and I think the key thing from this is that you come across, if I may, as humble, and that you have great gratitude for the life that you've had and the life that you have, and the fact that you are, you know, that you're healthy and you've got your you've got your health, which is always good. You've got your family, you've got your own gym. You've got the boxes that you're working with, the support worker that work that you're doing, which I think is very admirable. I take my hat off. I think that what you're doing and how you do this, it goes above and beyond. And I think that if you get the opportunity to sit down and tell your story, I'd buy the book tomorrow. Quite seriously, because I'm an avid reader. People that know me know that I read ferociously, but I do it on purpose because every day is a school day for me. You know, I'm not bright. I left school when I was 16, thought I knew everything. Didn't, trust me. You know, I think that what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. In fact, Chris has put inspirational. I think you truly are. Has anybody else got any questions that they would like to throw in for, you know, the last few minutes? I'm quite happy for anyone to speak up, by the way. I'm not going to...
Yeah, I'm willing to answer them as well.
Yeah, can I ask a question? You've got kids, obviously. Are any of them going to likely go into boxing, and would you want them to, or would you want them not to?
No, it's totally up to them. I've got a five-year-old and he comes to the gym on a Monday and Friday. At this stage, he really enjoys it. I'm not sure if he'll do boxing. I've got an older son. He's really into his football mad. He'll never do boxing, I don't think. And my daughter, no, she won't get into boxing. So whatever they want to do, I'll support and be passionate about. But I don't think so. At this stage, maybe Isaac, maybe my youngest, but he's a bright kid, so probably not.
Anybody else?
Yeah, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I think coming from a Koi Sports perspective, providing opportunities through sport can play a can make a huge difference to certain individuals. And in fact, everybody, we just need to look at physical and mental health benefits of sport. But I'm interested to know, because we work with Generation Youth down in Leicester, who use boxing and boxercise to engage special education needs students, those with challenging behaviour. And you just see the difference when they step in to that environment, to what they're like outside of it. How much do you think sport will have an effect on the SEN students that you're supporting?
How say that again? How
much of a difference do you think it makes, actually, sport, boxing in this instance, makes to those people with special education needs that you work with?
Honestly, boxing for me, obviously, I'm going to be biased, but you don't have to be a boxer to box.
Interesting.
Yeah. What do you have to be a boxer for? Mm. Well, it will give you direction, discipline, and respect. 1,000,000%. I've been in the most, with Brendan Ingalls gym, everything was in there. There was a 6-year-old girl to a 70-year-old man. There was people with disabilities. Anybody can do it. And if you do it properly, nobody will get hurt.
Mm.
So I only promote boxing. Boxing is a positive influence, and you don't have to be a boxer. Train boxing, don't do boxing.
Chris, you want to say something?
Yeah, Isham, I'm an ex-gymnast, so I thought I was fit. But I tried boxing, and boy, that takes it to another level. From a cardiovascular perspective, gymnasts are anaerobic athletes, but I couldn't do boxing because it just takes it to another level. So you have my incredible respect. And also, sports people are motivational and they're inspirational. And for children need a role model. And it's just incredible to listen to this.
Thank you. What I can say is, what you did was unbelievable. So I could never dream of being a gymnast. I wish I could have had that strength, agility, mobility, unbelievable. And as for boxing, the fitness is unreal. Yes, it is unreal, but it's harder when you get in the ring because the fittest guy won't last one round. And that's not down, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not down to fitness. That's down to mental strength. So like I said, I know I can get in the ring now. I don't train as much now. I can do 12 rounds because I know I have to do it. You get the fittest guy, he can't do one round. He's under mental pressure and somebody's trying to hit him. That's the thing. It's not that he's not fit. You know, it's just inexperience. And that's all it would have been with the gymnast. Because a lot of gymnasts are a lot fitter than boxers. But boxers have composure and they know how to do rounds. 1,000,000%.
Can I say something? Isham,
yeah.
When I was growing up, my older cousin, he used to box and he was a semi-pro bodybuilder. And yeah. My youth from about 4 till 11 was I used to spend Monday to Friday at school, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I used to literally stay at his home. And his routine was borderline torture, but it taught me a lot. From what everyone knows of me now, I'm a straightforward guy. I have a lot of principles in my life, and a lot of them came from boxing, because you could not waver from certain things. It's interesting that you mentioned one-on-one in the boxing in the gym, because if you let your guard down for a moment, you can get knocked out, right? That mental pressure, a lot of people can't deal with it. And yes, whilst you're mentioning about the fitness of a gym,
that's what ties you out.
Absolutely, absolutely. I went on to become a pro level footballer because of the boxing foundation I had. You know, I did pro level kickboxing because I could take a punt from anybody. No one could hit as hard as a boxer. You got kickboxing, it's easy. And I've got to say, hats off to you. I admire boxers. I could never go as far because I knew I wouldn't get my ass kicked. But yeah, hats off to you, honestly. Great stuff. And look, you need to give yourself, mate, you need to give yourself a lot more credit for what you did. Yes, you're being humble. I appreciate it. But what you've done can really change lives if we've really got this message out to youth. I strongly believe that. Because nowadays, a lot of the wannabe people and a lot of the wannabe kids don't understand life and what life really is. And having somebody, you're grounded, you're well grounded, you seem like a person who they can relate to. You're not arrogant, so they don't need to hide from that. So I really think you need to get this message out a lot more, mate. But thank you so much.
I can't be arrogant, mate. I can't be arrogant. No way. No, how can I be arrogant? I mean, there's no point. This doesn't make sense.
Can I just say, this has been an honour and a privilege. It really has.
Really appreciate everybody's time. And I didn't know it was going to be as rounded as this, everything. You know, it's been a pleasure, mate.
This is what this is. It, you know, when we do these sort of these talks and we get somebody on like your good self, it's for you to come along and explain your journey to, you know, where you started, why you started, and how it's gone, and what you're doing now, and what's going to happen tomorrow. And I for one, will be watching very carefully as to whether this book starts to materialise. I'd like to keep in touch with you as well, because I think that for me, I think it's one of those things where you kind of sort of, when you talk to somebody and there's that mutual connection, I want to be able to continue having those conversations. And I think that what you're doing now probably far exceeds what you used to be doing when you were boxing. I think that what you're doing for those young individuals now and the support that you're doing with the support work is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Well, the main thing I want to do is the mistakes I made, I want to help people not make them mistakes. You know, so if I can do that, that'll be cool for me.
And I will take that as I think Vanessa wants to say something. I can see her hand.
I just want to ask, actually, Isham, is there anything we can do to get involved or anything we can do to support what you're doing?
Oh, Vanessa, I mean, it's like all you lot. I mean, it's a privilege to know everybody and appreciate everybody listening to me as well. I'm sure we can all get to know each other and maybe get in a group, and I'm sure we can support and help each other out in the future. And it's nice to meet you as well.
That works. That works for us. That works for Koi Sports, and I'll bring in Dave now.
Social media is amazing. So we just set up a WhatsApp group, all of us, and you know, keep in touch, keep it flowing.
Perfect.
On that front, Isham, we'll add you to the Koi Sports chat group. I'll send you an invite. The Koi Sports is all about investing in grassroots sport to deliver positive social change, and so everybody you see here plays a part in ensuring that what we set out to do happens, which is making sport more affordable and accessible. It's also about giving opportunities through sport and through the sports sector to those who perhaps don't have a journey in academia. This is about making a difference at local communities. And so it would be a real pleasure to add you into that chat room where the majority of these people are. Isham, would you be happy for me to do that?
Yeah, no problem. Where is everybody else based? Where is everybody based?
We're all over the place, to be honest with you. Predominantly because we started off with a lot of pilots in Leicester. There is a Leicester flavour to it. Yes. But all over the place, really. Internationally with...
Where's everybody in the chat? Where are they all from?
Mate, we'll have to have a conversation about that. It would be another conversation. But we have... I'm not sure if they're still on the call, but we've got people in Africa. So we've got Kenya and Uganda. Chris over in Moldova. We have Rich Weston, who's gone now, he's in the States. And the majority of us are from the UK. So it's cosmopolitan, mate. Cosmopolitan.
Great.
Yeah. Nice. Isham, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Really great to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Thank you, mate.
Speak soon.
Yeah, nice one, Isham. All the best, mate.
Take care.
Bye.
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 There you go. That's a banger. I love that.